Welcome to Leading Minds with your host, Dr. David Brendel. Our program is focused on helping you discover and uncover your full human potential. Self-reflection, positive thinking, and personal responsibility empower people to achieve practical wisdom, develop clear action plans, and achieve lasting success in all areas of their lives. Now, here is Dr. David Brendel.
Hello and welcome to Leading Minds on the Voice America Empowerment Network. I am Dr. David Brendel and thrilled today to be joined by two wonderful guests, David and Marnell Hibbard, with years of experience in the sales industry. They are the co-founders of Dialexis, which is an industry-leading sales training organization which creates high-producing sales leaders, and they have worked in multiple Fortune 500 companies and teach widely. They are the authors of the recent book, Soar Selling, which they'll be talking about today. The subtitle of that book is How to Get Through to Almost Anyone, the Proven Method for Reaching Decision Makers. Dave and Marnell, welcome.
Thank you.
Happy to be on board.
Yes.
Yes, it's wonderful to be talking to you. You talk about both a mindset and a set of mechanics for reaching top decision makers in companies to have powerful conversations and reach and exceed sales goals. So I'd love today to talk to you about both of those. You have a sophisticated view of the psychology of this, which I've heard you speak about, and you also are very very good, very powerful on the mechanics of how to get there, which I've also had the privilege to participate in an event with you on that. So why don't we start out on the mindset and the psychology of this? Tell us about Soar Selling.
Absolutely. Love to. As you mentioned, our careers began in sales, which we believe sales is one of the best careers in the world. But we were both in commercial real estate, and what we realized was that we were given tools on what to do once you are in front of a potential client, but how do you get in front of that potential person? So that was our quest, honestly, David, was to find out how can we make it easy? How can we solve the problem? And getting in front of a decision maker or a high influencer.
So there's been lots talked about, written about, taught about with regard to once you're there, but very little in terms of how you actually get there, how you think about it, how you feel about it, and then how you actually do it.
Absolutely.
Everything that's written out there today, for the most part, is what you do, as Marnell said, once you get in, but not how to get in. And it isn't, Dave, it isn't just a mechanics game. It isn't just, well, you know, do this, do that, and then that's what you do. Here's the trick, so to speak, because there are no tricks. Doing Soar Selling or implementing Soar Selling, it's critical that it's ethical and professional. So it involves two things. Yes, one is the mechanics, as you said, though, David. The other one has to do with the mindset. You know, what is the mindset before a person actually picks up the telephone? And unfortunately, as Marnell will comment on, the mindset about using the telephone has been a very underutilized tool, and it's using the telephone or making a call at all on the telephone has become almost a negative.
Yeah, it's almost an anomaly now if you get a phone call. Everything is email or text and whatnot. And I think probably early on, David, that using the phone really was an art form, and not a lot of people were successful at it. So then all of a sudden your boss would say, well, then make more calls. And we call it in the book BTN plus L, by the number plus luck. And that was kind of the formula. And so if you made 50 calls and you didn't get a good result, well, then make 100 calls. And so the telephone became almost, in fact, there were movies made of this, like Boiler Room, telemarketing, you know, and the like. So I think it's probably one of the most underutilized tools to make contact with a decision maker and actually get an appointment. We do this live when we do training of the SOAR methodology, and it's really powerful. But as you mentioned, there's the technical piece, the mechanics on how to. But as Dave mentioned, it's so much the mindset, because a lot of people's mindset is you don't want to pick up the phone. It's a dirty instrument. You don't want to do that. Or it's telemarketing, and I'm way beyond telemarketing.
Cold calling.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Who does
the
that?
Dreaded cold call.
Yeah, and it is dreaded, because the way that it's been pushed down into the world of selling, Dave, is since there's no answer about how to successfully use the telephone.
Until now,
it's just become make a bunch of calls, and when you get frustrated, what happens, it leads to unethical calling, and it starts to be a telemarketing game, and the whole thing goes sideways. So when you talk about mindset, the first thing in the live trainings that we do in corporations is to break into the mindset vault, and let's debunk the attitude that a telephone call is a cold call. It doesn't have to be. It can be a strategic, well-thought-out approach to reaching a decision-maker, and can be very professional.
So how do you go about confronting and overcoming those limiting beliefs about what reaching out by the telephone is all about?
Yeah, it's a bit complicated, but in Chapter 3 of SOAR Selling, we go into that mindset piece quite a bit. And it's about preconceived notions that people come to the trainings with about they hate it, they don't like it. You know, if you've been beat up on the phone for years, why would you like it?
But there is a bit I can share with you that I think everyone will resonate with, and that is that Dave always uses, I think, great mental graphics for this. And if you felt like picking up the phone was going to help you reach some of your personal goals, some of this is called empowerment radio. This is about personal responsibility. Well, if you had an absolute focus, a vision for sending your kid to college or helping your mom or getting out of the neighborhood you're in because it's not a good one, all of a sudden it reminds me, and I can't remember the Will Smith movie that where he kept picking up the phone and calling, you got to help.
Oh, no, that wasn't Will Smith. That was Gecko in
No, that was
Will Smith. No, it was, well, I'm thinking about the, what was it, Dave, with oh, my God. Well, we lost our train of thought here. So
anyway, it was you'll all know, Beautiful Life or something. No, Happiness. I don't know the movie.
Pursuit of Happiness.
Yes, thank you. God, thank you. So what that was he just kept picking up the phone, and he got better and better and better at it.
Wall Street. That's what I was thinking about, Dave. Wall Street was Gecko when he was trying to get through. He just kept calling.
Yes. So the point is that if you have a vision of wanting something, that is part of the mindset, Dave, that really helps you be successful on the phone. And then you find tools like SOAR Selling and whatnot. But that is the mindset. What's your vision? What is it you want to accomplish by picking up that telephone?
If you've just tuned in, I'm David Brendel. This is Leading Minds on the Voice America Empowerment Channel, and I'm talking to David and Marnell Hibbert about their book, SOAR Selling. Tell us, what does SOAR stand for? The title stands on its own, just as soaring to new heights in your sales goals, but there's also an acronym there.
There is, yes. Yeah, absolutely. The Surge of Accelerating Revenue, SOAR. Because if you do use this methodology, you will find an absolute surge in making contact, and your business numbers will go up. It's amazing. I mean, we've been tracking this for so long. It's incredible. Through the methodology of SOAR, you can make contact to a decision maker or a high influencer 90% of the time. It's almost like illogical, but it's
all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's what it stands for, Surge of Accelerating Revenue.
And Dave, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to go back real quick because we got so tangled up in the in the weeds on that.
In the Hollywood references.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, talk about going sideways. But that's probably the worst we've done on that one. But nevertheless, what Marnell was saying, you know, I watch a lot of animal shows, and you see the wildebeest when they do the migration, and they hit that Serengeti River, and they're all, stacked up at the Serengeti, and they got all these crocodiles in the water. And you wonder, you know, what's the mindset that it would take to cross a river when you've got all these crocs waiting for you? And Marnell was just pointing out, you wouldn't do something like that unless there was something on the other side that had extraordinary value. So getting salespeople or people that want to do more demand generation and drive more net new business, to get them to do something that they naturally don't want to do is going to require a pretty big magnet pull on the other side of their life. And so in the program of Store Selling and in the book, that's what we talk about in mindset. You know, I get that it's ugly. I get nobody likes it. We know that. Nobody does. But what is it that would be on the other side that's so important that you'd go through the ugly, so to speak?
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and in the Serengeti scenario, there's both the enticement of what lies on the other side, but also both a fear and a knowledge that if you don't cross, you're going to die.
Exactly. And that's a thing in the book it describes called pain dream. People are either motivated, in our view, by pain and fear or by a vision, a dream, a goal, something important.
Right.
So
yeah.
If you don't have pain, fear pushing you, and you don't have vision or dream pulling you, and yet you say you want to be an extraordinary performer or have an extraordinary life, based upon what? No pain, no fear, no dream, no pull. I don't know what else is going to cause someone to make it happen.
So people really have to choose their own reality and their own mindset about this, overcome the fear, look at the vision, and reach. But that is a big stretch for many people, whether they've been in sales for years or just entering it.
Yeah, it is. But you know what? It really is. And the first thing I think we want to get people to understand is, look, I get it. It's ugly. You don't like it. But they're making decisions about not liking this thing called making contact with decision makers on the telephone based upon
an
historical stuff.
Old model.
It's historical, the old model. And who would like that? Make 50, 100 calls a day and you're not successful? Why would anyone like that? So you got to break down the mindset first and let people realize that that something on the other side is worth going after. And now they can implement a new model, which is a process, as Marnell said, that has a hit rate of up to 90% of the time making contact. It's revolutionary and it's crazy good.
Yeah, and I want to get to the details of those mechanics in the second or third segment here. But I'd like to, you know, if we can go a little deeper on, you know, what are those core limiting beliefs that get in people's way? And, how do you overcome them? You're both very, powerful motivational speakers. And, and the book is fascinating. How would you describe it here about how you identify those beliefs in people and begin to break them down?
Well, the first thing I think, honestly, when we left commercial real estate, and maybe people are going to hate this answer, but what we really realized was, in the selling world, there is a lot of domestication, meaning that mediocrity is okay. And you have a little salary, you have a few benefits, you have a few this, but making a difference is not necessarily, and not for everyone, but not necessarily expected. If you show up, you kind of do the drill, and you know, there are a lot of well-articulated excuses that leaders buy into. And we stand for people having an extraordinary life. So mediocrity and playing the game at 50%, Dave, just, you know, because I believe so many people have so much talent they're not stepping into. So the first thing is put yourself in a challenging position, like Will Smith in The Pursuit of Happiness. Put yourself in a challenging position so you can break through some of those low barriers.
Well, and Dave, you asked, you know, what, how do you pick up some of these stories? And boy, they're there, and you would know better than anyone, I think. But, you know, people come to the table with, I'm not courageous, or I don't like taking risks, or I don't want to bother someone on the phone, or I don't want to look bad, because, you know, we're doing live calls in the class, so they can, they actually make the live calls, and I don't want to be embarrassed. And there's all kinds of self-limiting beliefs.
And, I'm not good enough. I'm not important enough to speak to this person.
And Dave, I could go into things that we could with you that I know you'd grab onto in chapter three. It's all there for our readers. But the bottom line is, again, is this. No matter what a person's fear is, no matter how deep their story runs that they're holding on to be safe or whatever it is, we believe that once someone establishes what truly matters in their life on the other side of that Serengeti River, they'll do what it takes. And having that huge dream, that magnet, that pull on the other side, so to speak, and identifying it, suddenly gives people courage they didn't know they had. So, yes, there are ways to break down stories. There are things that we can talk about, which we do in training and in the book. But if you want to just cut right from 0 to 60, once again, it comes right back down to get something that matters in your life so big that you don't have any stories.
Absolutely. And it's not about making your quota. That's for the company.
What's in it for you?
And what's the extraordinary life you want? What do you want to provide for your family? You know, what kind of obstacles do you want to overcome for yourself as a person?
And that's what's so striking to me about your approach, that this is not a sales and numbers game in the end. It's really about going deep within yourself, knowing who you are, articulating a vision, and then knocking every obstacle down.
Yeah, and think about this. Corporations today are working very hard at trying to drive revenue. They're pushing their business development people, their salespeople hard. And they're not really providing them with the tool to have success. They're just saying, you know, make more calls, buy the numbers plus block. And it's not like they're wrong. I mean, they're doing the best they can, these corporations. But they also don't understand the psychology of the person who's dialing that phone. They're not making the connection to their personal life about why people would want to do this.
Right.
And so instead, it's just push, 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 make more calls. And it's brutal. And there's been no answers to solve it. You've got all the selling systems in the world are telling people what to do once you get in, but then they're staying up there saying, yeah, but how do I get in? And so that's why the mindset is such a big piece of this, as well as the mechanics.
Absolutely, and I think, Dave Hibbard, you just hit on a great point. As a leader, if you're a leader listening, coaching your people from what's in it for them, not just the numbers, what's in their heart, what's underneath, what is it that would motivate them, get them inspired on their own to go out and make that extra call or do something profoundly different than they're doing, is really vital as a leader to really tap into someone's greatness.
Yep.
Okay. Well, look, let's take a short break. This is Leading Minds with Dr. David Brendel on the Voice America Empowerment Channel, and I will be right back with Dave and Marnell Hibbard, authors of Soar Selling.
Live up to your fullest potential. This is the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Are you looking for real solutions to your scariest personal and professional challenges? Are you stressed out, burned out, or out of patience? Are you lonely and without anyone to really talk to? At Leading Minds Executive and Personal Coaching, Dr. David Brendel draws on his vast experience as a professional coach and psychiatrist to help individuals and corporations develop custom solutions to their thorniest problems. He works with leading CEOs and executive teams to manage stress, make better decisions, and get better results. Executive and personal coaching is the wave of the future. Dr. Brendel focuses on solutions rather than problems. Whether you're an individual in distress or a chief executive leading a team in a worrisome business environment, Leading Minds can help. Call today at 617-932-1548 or visit www.leadingmindsexecutivecoaching.com. That's leadingmindsexecutivecoaching.com.
What if you were willing to be controversial, choosing kindness instead of judgment, willing to stand out from the crowd, being a leader in creating a new reality, even if others don't follow? You can make a difference. Start by tuning in to The Value of Controversy. Each week, our hosts will bring you the tools to help create the world that you want to live in and explore what's possible when you choose from the controversy of consciousness. Listen for The Value of Controversy every Tuesday at 12 noon Pacific time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Live up to your fullest potential. This is the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
You are listening to Leading Minds. To reach Dr. David Brendel or today's guest, please call into the program at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. Or send an email to david@drdavidbrendel.com. Now, back to Leading Minds.
And we're back. I'm Dr. David Brendel, and this is Leading Minds on Voice America. I am talking with David Marnell Hibbard, author of Source Selling and the founders of Dialexis. And we've been talking about the mindset of selling, overcoming limiting beliefs, and choosing a vision, and then going forward and implementing it in sales. So let's keep moving forward with that discussion. And also, I'd like to take up something about what you said earlier regarding making the phone call, establishing a personal relationship rather than doing it by email or other electronic media. So why don't we start out with that? What do you think of that part of it, and what is the mindset around that at this point in 2013?
Yeah, great question, Dave. Here's our view on it. Everything is good. I mean, if someone has a way, we always say, if you stand in the street and you bark like a dog and you can make contact with executives that way, then you should do that. I mean, there's no perfect thing out there. Social networking, LinkedIn, networking in general, leads groups, email, all that stuff is good. We have nothing but praise for it. But ultimately, it seems, one has to pick up a telephone at some point. I mean, if I go into LinkedIn or in some social media site and I find a name and I call that person and say, hey, you know so-and-so, they say, yeah, call them, use my name, I've got a connection now. But I still pick up the phone and have to get past the receptionist. And lots of things happen at the reception level that block people. So ultimately, the telephone still does play into the game. So says the Fortune 500 clients that we work with, who certainly are supporters of all the things I just said, but still have their people using telephone.
So it's still about establishing a dialogue and a personal relationship that goes beyond the social media and the email.
Exactly.
And what happens at that point with the receptionist? People start to get up the guts to make the phone call, and they get there. The receptionist picks up, and they're asked, who's calling? What's this about? And that seems like a focal point where people can lose confidence and retreat.
Yeah, well, all kinds of stuff happens right there, and usually it's not good. And the reasons, now we're into a more of a mechanics game, and the reason that things go sour is not always what salespeople, I was about to say what they say, that's right. It's kind of they offer too much data. It's like a deposition. If you think of being in the reception zone as a deposition, your attorney says don't say too much.
Yeah, I just want to say, Dave, that the receptionist, honestly, unless she's the wife or daughter, or he's the son or husband of the owner, they typically are just programmed, and that's what we talk a lot about in the book. We call it chip. They are programmed to ask that question. In Chapter 5, it speaks all about the receptionist and how they have been asked to ask that, but honestly, it's almost like Dave told a story about Starbucks.
When salespeople go to receptions, the first thing that happens is the receptionist will say, "Who's calling?" And that reply would be to say, well, if it was me, I would say it's Dave Hibbert. But what we see in live dialing in these corporate programs we do is they'll say, it's Joe Johnson from Xerox, or Joe Johnson from Telecom, or something like that. And then the operator will say, well, what is it you want? What is Telecom or something? I'm going to say, well, we're phone. We can help save money on the phone. And then it's click. So they ask the question, who's calling? And the salesperson says, who's calling by name? Plus they tell their company sometimes what they're calling about. And the receptionist never asks that. They just give too much data. And so they don't need to. So they're saying more than they need to say there. And Marnell just said about Starbucks, receptionists are told when they first are hired to ask, what is this regarding? Is he or she expecting your call? What company are you with? Those kinds of things. But after they've worked there for a while, believe it or not, they don't always want to know the answer to those questions. We call them chip questions because it's almost like they've been programmed when they began, and now they don't even know they're saying it. I was in Starbucks. I was third in line, the guy in very front of the line, so I have a black venti coffee, and the gal said, room for cream. And he said, no. And then the next guy stepped up and said, I'll have a small decaf. She said, room for cream. He said, no. I stepped up, and I like cream, so I said, I'll have a venti regular coffee with room for cream, please. She said, okay. And she gave me my coffee. I paid for it. I took it over. There was no room for cream. If I had gone back to this young lady and said, you know, I noticed you asked everybody room for cream, and they all said no except me. I said room for cream, and then you gave me my coffee, but there was no room for cream. Why would you ask room for cream if you have no plan to make room for cream? And we believe that they would say, if they knew this conversation, I'm chipped. You know, when I started, they said I should say that, but I don't even know I'm saying it anymore. Isn't that funny? Did I say room for cream? I'll be doggone.
Yeah. I have become a robot.
I've become a robot. And so when the receptionist says to somebody, what is this regarding, believe it or not, they don't always want to know.
Yeah.
And yet the people who are on the call making the call have to know what to say, but they don't want to know. And yet they tell them what it's regarding, and then they die, so to speak, on the call in the receptionist's office.
So any bit of information you provide as the caller is a reason to say no.
Well, not any bit. I mean, you're putting yourself at risk.
But less is more.
Less is more.
Yeah. And what's interesting is that most people see the receptionist, you know, as the enemy and whatnot. And years ago, right as I got out of school, I got married and had children, and I part-time as a receptionist. And it was interesting because the first thing you want to do, or I did as a receptionist, was put everyone in voicemail. And so people think, gosh, why are they doing that? Well, they're doing it so they can take more calls. So it's not like, you know, that's why the first response is, do you want voicemail? Do you want voicemail? And they always go back to that default again. It's so they can do their job. So the goal is, as Dave said, getting out of the receptionist area without landmining yourself and blowing yourself up. And in Chapter 5, it tells every specific thing, but less is more in that area. That is the key.
But what are people in the seminars you run, what do you find people tend to do as the you know, there's something automatic going on with the receptionist or the person behind the counter at Starbucks. What is the automatic thing that the caller is doing in a situation like that? And not they're misunderstanding the psychology on the other side, it seems.
Right. They immediately give up, David. Honestly, that is like the answer. They immediately think, I'll call back. Or, okay, I'll take voicemail. I'll call back. It is a vicious.
And listen, you know what? We kind of giggle about it a little bit and all that, but I tell you, that anybody who's been in sales, I and Marnell and I both empathize so much with them. That is brutal. That is hard. Selling is one of the best professions in the world. And these folks come in out of college or some other place and they're doing their darndest to do a great job for their company. And they're working with tools that are antiquated.
Right.
It's like trying to dig a hole with a stick. And they get so discouraged. And why would they want to make a call? So, you know, we have so much, empathy, I guess, for salespeople today, because they really are working with tools that don't work. So when, I don't ever want to criticize them when we say they give up. We don't mean that. It's just emotionally deflating.
True, but let's give you one tip. I think one of the biggest tips we call keyword listening. And this is critical because, as we say in the training, grains of sand build up to really to disadvantage you. So small little mistakes, like saying too much information when they say, who's calling? If you say Marnell Hibbert, that's perfect, okay? But then when you go and say your company name, just like David said, that is a place to, you know, small grains of sand.
It hurts you, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. But there's keyword listening that we teach. And that is because oftentimes, again, if you think about the receptionist wants to get you off their board or off their line, so they want voicemail and so on, what they say is, I don't believe he's in. But they don't say, I don't believe he's in. They say, I don't believe he's in. So the salesperson says, okay, I'll take voicemail. But what we found is when
they don't hear the word.
You don't hear the word. So if you really investigate, what does believe he's in mean? So you can say, I'm sorry, operator, can you help me understand what is it that, you know, do you think he's in a meeting or isn't, you know, not in yet or something? Well, I haven't seen him today. Well, gosh, that doesn't mean he's not there.
They also say things, Dave, like you'll call in and say, Bill Smith, please. And I'll say, just a moment. Maybe they won't even ask your name. And then they'll come back and say, he's not available. Would you like to go to voicemail, as Marnell said? And then we find from people in the training that we'll say to them, what does not available mean? And they'll say things like, well, the operator's trying to block you, or they're lying, or whatever. And they look at it always like somebody's against them, because that's how they've been trained. But in fact, as Marnell said, when an operator says he's not available, and if the person were to say, when you say he's not available, is he in a meeting? Has he stepped away from his desk? Has he left the building? I don't know how many times you've heard a reply say, oh, I haven't seen him today. Well, it doesn't mean he's not available. Then we go hunt for the person.
Mm-hmm.
So there are little things like that, as Marnell called grains of sand, that stop people at the reception zone because they're not picking up the keywords on this keyword listening thing. And they hang up, and someone else makes contact because they learn how to get through these things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me just take a short aside here and say, well, if you want to pick up the phone, you can get it right through to Dave and Marnell Hibbert right now by calling 888-346-9141 or sending me an email at david@drdavidbrendel.com. This is Leading Minds, talking to Dave and Marnell Hibbert, and we're on to the mechanics at this point of how you how you get in there, as you put it in the book, ride the bull, and work your way toward the decision maker.
Right.
Absolutely. So what is, I love riding the bull. I think that is probably one of the best things. And, David, I have to tell you, we've learned so much from our clients and doing this live for so many years that it's kind of evolved to this point. But it means, just like it sounds, staying on the bull for the 8 seconds, like a bull rider, right?
So the steps are, Dave, when they call in, and someone says, I don't believe he's in, let's say, there are some steps. Like, as Marnell said, most people will just hang up. So here would be an example of riding the bull. The first step would be saying, well, can we page, please? Now, some say, well, paging, they don't have paging anymore. Well, they do. We run into it all the time. So they might say, we don't have paging, or we don't page, or they page, whatever. and or the page was unsuccessful. Then we'll say, well, who sits near Bill that might see if he's in the area? That's a grain of sand. It doesn't mean it'll always work, but it's another step. They may say, I'll connect you to Edward, and Edward says, oh, there he is, and you got a contact. Or they might say, I don't know, he's in another building. Then we'll say, in the event he's out, what is his business cell number? They will say things like, I wouldn't have that number. And, of course, then the caller thinks, oh, they don't have the number. But they're not hearing the key word of, I
don't have the number.
Wouldn't have it. So then the reply would be, who would have it?
Right.
Or they'll give you the cell number, or they say, we can't give cell numbers out, at which time the salesperson will say, I can hold while you connect me. I don't need the number. And if none of that is prevailing to reach a president, then we'll ask for the executive assistant to the president. If that person doesn't answer, we'll go after a page there if they have page. And if none of that pursuit makes contact with a president or the president's executive assistant, then we slide over to what we call, again, ride the bull by going to your secondary contacts. Now, your listeners might hear all this and say, oh, my God, you don't do that. You couldn't do that. They'll get upset. They'll be mad. No, they won't. They don't. They just don't.
This is where the confidence to and the vision need to really stay in place. It seems that there's just so many opportunities for the caller to say, "Oh, I'm being too pushy here. They're saying no. I'm bothering them. I'm taking their time and retreat." How do you stop that when you're training somebody and then when you're actually out there doing it? How do you stop yourself from complying with what you're hearing back and retreating?
Right. Well, I think you said it well. So if your vision was in place and your vision is so strong that, you know, it inspires you to pick up the phone in the first place, that's good. The second thing, and David, this is why I love the selling profession. I believe that if you are a professional salesperson, you are a resource. It's like being a doctor. No matter what product or service you represent, you have so much more knowledge than the person you're going to be contacting. And that if you feel that you have something of interest and something powerful to share with this company, whether you can save them money or introduce a new technology to make them more efficient, then I think it's your responsibility to make that phone call. Think about that. It's your responsibility to help that company be more successful. Therein lies your success, and you're supporting someone else and being more successful. That's why I think it works.
You know what I just wrote? Yeah. I just wrote something down while you were talking, Marnell, and Dave, you asked that question. I said the importance or the significance of a person's dream is directly related to how vigorously they'll stay on the
bowl. Yeah. Well, it's a powerful reframing of the idea that when you're calling to make a sale, you're trying to get something for yourself rather than that you're trying to contribute something to somebody else's life, and that when they buy from you, their lives are going to get better.
I so believe that, David. I really do. I would not call, you know, the old adage that he's such a good salesman, he could sell ice to an Eskimo. I think that frames the world of selling as almost snake oil or negative. I truly believe that there's so much information out in the world today that if you're really a pro, you know your product really well, your product knowledge is so strong, and you also know your competition, you really are a resource to that company or that individual. And I love that aspect of serving and supporting, and is, you know, the ultimate win-win.
All right. Well, look, let's pick up on that idea when we come back and also go into some of these mechanics more. I know you have more to say about specifically what to do to get to the decision maker. This is Leading Minds with Dr. David Brendel. I'm speaking to Dave and Marnell Hibbard, authors of Source Selling, and we'll be right back.
Which guests are being featured this week. Read our network press releases and read the blog posts from your favorite hosts. Go to iRadioBlog.com today, powered by the Voice America Talk Radio Network.
Are you looking for real solutions to your scariest personal and professional challenges? Are you stressed out, burned out, or out of patience? Are you lonely and without anyone to really talk to? At Leading Minds Executive and Personal Coaching, Dr. David Brendel draws on his vast experience as a professional coach and psychiatrist to help individuals and corporations develop custom solutions to their thorniest problems. He works with leading CEOs and executive teams to manage stress, make better decisions, and get better results. Executive and personal coaching is the wave of the future. Dr. Brendel focuses on solutions rather than problems. Whether you're an individual in distress or a chief executive leading a team in a worrisome business environment, Leading Minds can help. Call today at 617-932-1548 or visit www.leadingmindsexecutivecoaching.com. That's leadingmindsexecutivecoaching.com.
When you think of inspiring women, who comes to mind? Is it a visionary like Oprah Winfrey? Political or legal figures like Hillary Clinton or Sonia Sotomayor? Or how about entrepreneurial business leaders like Meg Whitman? No matter whom you might be thinking of, make sure to add one more to that list. Deanne DeMarco. She's the host of Today's Inspiring Women. Each week, Deanne turns you on to the next rising star in business and leadership and what their successes and challenges have been. Listen every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Voice America Empowerment. Follow us on Twitter at Voice America TRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's Voice America TRN.
You are listening to Leading Minds. To reach Dr. David Brendel or today's guest, please call into the program at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. Or send an email to david@drdavidbrendel.com. Now, back to Leading Minds.
And we're back. I'm Dr. David Brendel, host of Leading Minds on the Empowerment Channel here at Voice America. Continuing the discussion with David Marnell Hibbard, co-founders of Dialexis and authors of Source Selling. And I'm just really fascinated by all the work and thinking you've done about how to reframe, how to help people reframe their own thinking about sales. This is a much wider vision, as we were talking about in the break, about the human mind. It's not just about sales techniques or, you know, increasing your revenues. Hopefully that all is a result of this. But what I'm so intrigued by in your approach is this sophisticated idea of cognitive psychology, that there's a way to connect with your vision, not get bogged down in the constraints around you or your past experiences, and choose to go forward. And I think that last thing we were talking about is a good example of a reframe. You're not just trying to get something from somebody else who may not want to give it to you. If you believe in your product and in yourself, you are selling and thereby providing something of great value to somebody else. They should thank you.
Yes, absolutely. I have a quick story. David and I were in New York, and he had been walking a lot. He needed to get a better pair of shoes, tennis shoes, basically. And so we walked in a store, just had no idea where we were at Midtown. And this young man was so proficient in product knowledge that I think we bought three pairs of tennis shoes. And we needed them. But I'll tell you what, we really respected what he offered us. It wasn't about just the look and the, he knew everything about his competition, and he knew everything about the products that he represented. It felt so good that I'm talking to you right now about that experience.
And not only that, Dave, not for one minute did either of us feel as though we were being sold.
Good point.
There was no selling involved. There was only caring. And the guy was so interested in serving us that it was a terrific experience. And, you know, someone else might say, God, I hate to talk to people. I have to run back and forth, get all these shoes. And this guy was one of the the best. And I would have, I never thought of him as a salesperson. I thought of him as just a serving person. Did you?
Absolutely. And one other piece to it is that I wrote an article not too long ago, Dave, about the fact that why is it that the first word out of most people's mouths is no? If you're approaching a client, even if I go to a retail store and it's a nice store and I've driven over to this store and I know I'm there for a reason, if someone walks up to me and says, may I help you? No, I'm just looking. And I think that the sales profession, and this is a bigger picture, but the sales profession can actually step it up a notch and really be a service so we can get rid of, some just normal resistance so we can all win bigger.
Yeah. So it is, it's really about forming a personal connection and providing a service. And maybe, you know, the word selling, I think like the word cold calling, has just gotten a bad rap, and maybe in a well-deserved way. It has to be seen more as forming a connection and giving something of value.
Absolutely. You know, we had a salesperson that works for us. He said, I hate selling. I'm not good at it. I don't like to make calls. I'm not good at doing it. And I said, well, don't sell anything then. Do you mind calling some people and telling them just what you have? He said, well, I don't mind telling people what I have. I said, well, just do that. She's our number one rep.
Yeah.
It was just a word reframe. You know, and unfortunately today, the world of sales is a bum rap, just as you said, Dave, because of all this telemarketing, cold calling junk that's going on, and the leadership is not making it as high a profession as they can. And I tell you, Marnell and I wrote this book as co-authors because we want to give hope to salespeople. We want young people to enter the career. We want them to know they can be honest and ethical. We want them to know that sales can lead them into an extraordinary life. Marnell and I both came from below zero, and our life is extraordinary because of the world of professional selling. And we want them to know that source selling is a tool that can make their hardest part of their job typically easy.
Right.
And corporations can also get a greater result with their people and have less attrition and have a professional sales force once they understand the mindset and the mechanics of this kind of work. It's not that tough.
What do you say to somebody who doesn't believe in his or her product, though? Because a lot of what we're saying here, which I believe in very deeply, is, you know, if you're selling something good, if you're selling something valuable to somebody, this should come naturally. What if you're stuck in a job selling something that you don't really care about or believe in?
Right.
Do you have to just get out of the job, or can you do something about that?
Well, I think the key is, I think there's two answers. The first answer is that I really believe that it's essential to believe in what you're doing, absolutely essential. Because to be authentic, and that's where the results happen, people can see through if you're selling and, you know, versus being committed to, you know, supporting them and what they need to have happen. But also, Dave mentioned, it's, you know, do your research. Learn about it. Learn about what's in the industry and your competition and where it is. And if you can't find something that you can get behind, I think it's incumbent upon you to have personal responsibility that you get into a place that you can believe in what you're doing. Absolutely 100%. Would you not agree?
I agree. You know, if you don't believe in what you're doing or you don't like what you're doing, we wrote another book called The Canoe Theory. That states simply, either be in the canoe or don't be in the canoe. But if you can't support the canoe, we'll pull over and we'll let you out and be no harm, no foul. But if you're going to be in the canoe, then support it, support what it stands for, or don't be there. It's either way, but don't stay in and undermine it.
Yeah, you know what you do, Dave, and I know you'd know this, but you undermine yourself by doing this because you really feel that if I'm saying things that I don't believe are true about my company or what it does, I am undermining my own personal integrity and the fabric of who I am as a human being. It supports nothing and no one.
Yes, and I am impressed in the book how you do talk about the ethics of how to do this. That you don't lie on the phone,
no.
and you don't try to sell something that you can't stand behind or believe in.
Right, absolutely. Right. I was at a training and I walked out afterwards, and everyone was, you know, we talk about telling fish stories. It was a great program, and they were talking about the people they had made contact with, and it was really powerful. And I reached over to get a glass of wine, and this woman said, oh, what are you doing here? And I told her, and she said, oh, I could have used this. And I said, really, are you in sales? She says, well, I do a lot of fundraising for a very well-known, and she told me the university's name, East Coast, very well-respected, very well-known. And she says, it's hard for me to get in. I said, well, really, what do you do? Now, I had never met this woman before. She said to me, I lie. I looked at her, and my mouth just dropped up, and I said, what? She said, I have to lie. I make up stories. It's to get in. It sickened me. To this, I thought, oh, my gosh. I mean, no, that's not right. No.
It's just wrong. It's just wrong on the face of it.
Oh, my God. Well, what is that doing to her as a person?
To the university.
To the university, if it's ever found out. I mean, look at all of this.
Sale.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me started.
from what I can tell from what you're describing about this person, there's probably lots of opportunities to figure out something good about what you're trying to sell there.
Right.
You know. What gets in the way for people of figuring out here's something that's really valuable for my client or for the world.
But I think, David, I think what she was doing was she believed in her university. She believed in doing, but she couldn't make contact to present her university, so she would lie to get in.
To get in.
That's to get
in.
So,
yeah, so.
But
so
you know
it was,
what to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the operators are saying things like, what's this regarding? What's this about? She says fundraiser. Like, no thanks. Click.
Yeah. So this question really goes to what source selling is all about, which is less focus on what you do when you're speaking to the decision maker and how to sell there, but how to effectively and also ethically get in front of that person.
Right. So there's a great concept that I think is breakthrough for your people. We talked about the receptionist and the fact that in our view, most of the time, they are really doing a job, and their job is to put calls through. So it's not necessarily to block people. Now, possibly it is, but usually that's not the mindset. But we say that they have been asked to ask these questions. So if you say things that will not work for them, it hits the chip, as Dave said, and then it pushes you out of the system. But if you're discreet and you say just what they ask typically, you can get through. And the place that I really want to tell our listeners to talk about is the executive assistant to the president. Dave talked about riding the bull and that process. But the executive assistant to the president, in our mind, is really your coach. This individual, female or male, is really almost the steward of the company. And this is where you use that person to help direct you to where you need to be.
Yeah, so the gatekeeper is, in our world, Dave, the gatekeeper is the receptionist. We think of it more of that. And we think of the executive assistant to the president as not a gatekeeper, but rather an ally. And there are a lot of selling suggestions out there that say, yeah, when you get to the executive assistant to the president, they're gatekeepers. They try to block you. We don't have it wired that way.
Yeah.
No.
It's from what I can read in your book and in your presentations and what you're saying now, getting to that executive assistant is essentially getting to the decision maker. It's a wonderful book you've written. Your presentations are amazing. I'm honored to have you here on Leading Minds discussing your perspective. Can't thank you enough for coming on. What comes next for you? What are you moving on to next?
We have now taken SOAR in all of its components and put it on an instructional design platform that is now available online 24/7. In a different model.
Great. Well, as we close, what is the web address there?
Oh, excellent. SoarSelling.com. SoarSelling.com. Go in there. There's a lot of white papers, good information, and good luck, everyone. Thanks, David.
Okay. Can't thank you enough. David and Marinelle Hibbard, co-founders of Dialexis, co-authors of Soar Selling. Thank you for joining me on Leading Minds with Dr. David Brendel on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Thank you for tuning in to Leading Minds with Dr. David Brendel. We invite you to join us again next Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. This week, we hope to help you uncover your full human potential.